want to take just a moment for you and me and for everyone watching the video and listening to the audio to really tune in the topic of our conversation here, the conscious evolution. And this is something we all, the whole human family, is invited to step into and to find, for everyone to find your resonance in your heart, why you care about it and how you can contribute to it. And this is also the reason why I chose to provide all the material in English, although I'm German and I'm quite aware that my English is far away from being perfect. But it's a topic which is really relevant for all of us in all countries, all over the globe. And in producing it in English, I hope to reach many people in many corners of this planet. And I just want to invite you that you really feel into the reality that we are all connected, that we are part of a huge web, of a huge web of life, which is interconnected with everything what exists on this planet and in the whole universe. And just feel it, sense it, let it in. And yeah, and feel that you are also not alone in that. So there are so many people really on this journey and have such a longing in their heart to contribute. And I just want to value that you take this time to join our conversation. So I'm so excited and happy that today I'm able to welcome Annelou Smitsman. It's a real joy and honor to have this time with you.
Thank you so much for inviting me and for holding space for all of this and for being a voice for our conscious evolution. Thank you.
And just a few words to introduce you to people who might not know you yet. So Annelou, you are the founder, CEO and vision keeper for the Earthwise Center. You are a catalyst to really support developing our future creative capabilities and to really become leaders in this process, to become leaders in co-creating a thrivable world. And I just want to kind of already go into that, that you maybe share with us, what does it mean to kind of really trigger our future capabilities, our future creative capabilities? Because I know you are one of the rare human beings on this planet, which you are so much in the future already, which is kind of a parallel dimension. It's not something which is not there. It's already here. And I want to hear from you as an expert about that.
Thank you so much. And, you know, to me, once we step into that, we are actually always a lifelong learner. So I wouldn't want to say of myself that I'm an expert to that, but I have a lot of experience in it, yes, because it's the dimension for where I live. But I feel when you are really stepping into your future creative abilities, because you're in this place of greatest renewal, you're in this place of ongoing birth, you're in the place, in the dimension, you know, where the universe brings itself forth, you're really in the cosmic womb, in the cosmic heart. Therefore, where you're standing is in this incredible dimension where you're so supported by the wisdom of our ancestors. And at the same time, you're really willing to be this unborn, new expression of evolution coming forth. Yeah. And so it takes a particular perspective and attitude and relationship with life and the universe in order to really tap into that. And this is why indeed I'm using that word, you know, future creative abilities, because I feel as a humanity, we have developed lots of abilities, lots of different powers, and different creative powers, but we're not really tapping in from our future as this kind of the unborn dimensions of life, this place, as she said, this parallel dimension in some of the indigenous cultures also called the dreaming, where there is this pre-creation phase. And when you're in that, naturally there in that unified field of consciousness, pre-creation, intuiting what wants to come forth, what wants to be born. And when we're supporting that process, it naturally happens within ourselves as well. So it's kind of also a readiness and a willingness to really, really be alive to that growth, to that learning, to that embracing the letting go, as well as the stepping in and stepping forth. So yes, it's like a conscious surfing mm-hmm. with life.
Yeah. What just comes up to my mind while I'm listening is that we also need, in my experience, also have a very healthy relationship to death and to dying, because this is also very relevant. It's a constantly process. So many pieces of us in different bodies and areas also die every day, and we also need to be able to let that happen in order to be available for the new.
Exactly. And it reminds me of a fascinating conversation that my friend and I, Dr. Jude Carfin, had. She's the author of The Cosmic Hologram, and we were exploring what is it within the universe? Where is the capacity where we see that dying? And that in the process of the dying, there's a deeper reintegration. So we were exploring the black holes or the black wholeness. And within that, it brought us actually to the role of the feminine. So the qualities of the feminine, of the darkness, where the masculine in our world, it's very much this expansive, you're bringing it forth, bringing it into form. However, the feminine is that quality within ourselves, so within life, within our universe, which after it has been brought forth, it has been made manifest, it's been lived and experienced. Then there's a feedback back to the system of life, to the wisdom of life, to the cosmic process itself. And in that feedbacking process, that which we call death is really a higher and deeper level of integration, so that new birth can emerge. And it seems that it's that quality in our world that we're not practicing much. So I really appreciate how you brought that in right now, that practice of conscious dying, because if you don't do that, then we cannot come to the conscious birthing either. And then we are not future creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for me, it's almost as it is two sides of one coin. So you don't get the other side if you are not aware and conscious and moving the one side. Yeah.
And we've seen that cosmologically as well. So what we're looking at as, for example, a black hole in the blackness, it's like where, I mean, sounds a bit technical, but entropy reaches this maximum scale and it starts to disintegrate. The informational content, the evolutionary content doesn't get lost, gets reintegrated. So what we see on one hand as a black hole becomes a white hole on the other end, and that's future creative. So just as you're saying, it's like in one entrance in, it's death, but on the other way, what it makes possible is birth, as well as that every birth is another death. And as a woman, you experience that even more vividly. For example, when you are giving birth, you know, I had that with my two children giving birth. And that's a moment of when they were ready to be born. It's like the portals to the worlds of our ancestors open up wide. So it's really like as you're receiving their life coming in, you see that somewhere else a life is ending and completing. And yes, and in our world right now, there's a huge need for facilitation, conscious, loving facilitation of what's dying. And so that the birthing that is also already here is taking place, but that there is more space and support for that.
I'm really happy that we kind of really addressed that topic, because in my perspective, it's really relevant. Yeah. And the other thing you mentioned, Anneloos, was You mentioned unity, and in a way, I sense that this really stepping into unity consciousness is a prerequisite to really kind of pull in and feel the resonance of other abilities of future. And I'm really curious to hear from you what you explored in that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's for me been a kind of very long deep dive of exploration, and which started when I was very little, when the unity consciousness, I experienced that naturally with life, with the animals. I just noticed that human beings seem to disconnect from it, but life is naturally a unified reality. And so there's an instant connection. And then in the world of humans, you know, it seems that for so many things, people just disconnect from themselves, from each other, from life as a living, ongoing process. And then explored it in depth also from various indigenous wisdom traditions. Also during my many years of retreat living in Australia and living from the land there. And so, and then kind of going back also to my own spiritual roots from Europe and discovering more about the unity consciousness there. Through all of those explorations, what I discovered myself is that, so if unity is given, so life is a unified reality. Yeah. The question I had is, why are people not experiencing that? So what's happening inside that somehow our thinking and our perception and therefore our perspective and our worldview and our behavior is fighting that? Whereas cosmologically and at the deeper levels of life itself, it is a unified reality. For the animals it's given, for the trees it's given. Yeah. So what is it then within our human mind or human patterns and our human systems that somehow we disconnect from that? And what I noticed then is that if we're looking in the human being, is that if we're looking at all of our sensory capacities, for example, say we have our two eyes and we have our ears and we have our two hands. So in a lot of places in our body, there's a principle of two, but it doesn't get sourced or grounded in the principle of three. So even in the word co-creation, for example, we very often explore that dualistically, as if co-creation means two rather than three. Now, when I was studying kind of the old alchemical texts, you always find the principle of three, that creation happens as a triunity, so that the two that emerges from the oneness, and it doesn't get out of the oneness. That the way that the oneness can multiply, diversify, bring itself forth, as such making evolution possible, is because in that process of that multiplication, where the principle of two comes in, the third principle out of which it's sourced remains active by being able to converge again alchemically, like marry back, making new life possible. However, our human systems have been playing with the principle of two, a very polarized system, and not at the principle of three. So we don't build into our systems a place where the two can converge and make something new possible. We have dualistic, yeah, political and economic systems. Very often people feel they have confronted with a choice, either or, not, and. So we've seen this in our society. So my own kind of approach to that and journey of that has really been by design, consciously, to really look always for where's the third path, where's the third pillar, where's the third principle? How can we create those spaces invoking the principle of three, so that when something is active in a principle of two, masculine, feminine, day and night, this and that, yeah, that instead of them playing out in opposites, they become an amazing enrichment of each other, holding this kind of creative tension, but then also converge to make something new possible.
Mm-hmm.
The unity consciousness for me comes from that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned the word tension. And I just have this understanding that often we try to avoid to feel this tension, or we try to get rid of it, or we make it wrong because it might maybe not be so comfortable to experience. But in my understanding, this tension is so important. And maybe you can talk a bit about your understanding of what is this tension for and what supports us in just holding it, being it, embracing it.
Exactly. Well, how I work with that tension is as conscious contraction. So every movement in one direction of life will invoke and evoke another response to that. So if we're stretching, something in the universe is going to do this to bring it back. Okay? If we keep it contracted, something in the universe is going to go, make it want it to go in that way. So what we're seeing is that in the universe itself, there's a process in life where there's an in-breath and there's an out-breath. There's a flow. So there's a time for it to expand. In the expansion, it diversifies, it multiplies. So this is where we kind of, in the evolutionary play, we see more increased diversity. And then there's also a place where it needs to come back to itself. So this is, we tend to see this as the journey to unification and integration, but I think there's kind of a misconception there, because the other process is also unification. Unification is dynamic. It doesn't mean it has to be conform or be one thing. So what happens is when we start to work with that process of that up and that flow, that inhale, that exhale, that expansion, and then that natural contraction, then it becomes a very playful conscious tension, and it informs us to say, okay, reaching a boundary here, enough expansion now, come back in, let it be informed, let it converge, let it go back into a point of singularity, and from that singularity, a new diversification will come forth and it will start to emerge. Now, if we are not working with that tension and we cannot see it as it's actually being attentive, tension as attentive, you know, attentive to the information, to the feedback that we are getting, then it becomes a tension that is much more held as a stress, as a fear. And instead of it being a contraction, it's constrictive. So, for example, let's explore this contraction a little bit more, because it's also, again, such beautiful feminine wisdom. When the baby is growing in the womb will expand, and mother expands in order to make space for the baby to grow. But there comes a time when the baby is ready to come out, and when the womb has provided everything that the baby needs, and its next stage of its life, you know, is signaling. And this is when the contractions will be starting then. So the contractions that are starting are not starting to constrict the child, but to direct the child to a new opening. And when the contractions are starting, they're starting from the top of the womb. They'll contract here so that it puts pressure on the cervix to open up. So the contraction serves to an opening. Whereas in a lot of times in our kind of world, contractions are misidentified as a closing. If you're looking at it dynamically again, from an evolutionary perspective, from a future creator perspective, and we see, if there's a contraction happening here, hold on, where does that work to the next opening? Because maybe the opening isn't meant to happen there. Like, you know, it's not, the womb isn't meant to open from the top. The womb is meant to open it for the cervix so that the birth canal can get engaged and the baby can come forth. So we are in that process with the universe as well. So when there are contractions happening, rather than misidentifying it as constrictive, becoming controlling about it and resisting that growth, we can really listen in and say, how does it inform me? And maybe I need to kind of, you know, stop trying to grow it into this level, and I'm being asked, yeah, to kind of really come into that birth canal and to see to what can open up as a result, which is also again then that letting go there. It's the conscious dying of that stage of growth. Through that is a narrowing down in that process of dying, letting go, so that a new birth, new life, new openings can emerge. If we're looking at our world right now, Mother Earth is telling us in so many ways, we have gone over the boundaries. We've stretched too far. So she's telling us, come, you know, humanity cannot keep stretching out in those dimensions. And so the tension that we're feeling is really there to inform us, to catalyze a whole new way of working with our planetary wisdom.
That is really, that's such a beautiful explanation of this process of expansion and contraction. I want to just thank you for that, because I could really also sense it. And even though I'm quite open to experience that, I, with how you described it, I got a deeper understanding, especially for this, that it's always about a new opening and being sensitive where it might occur. So I find this really valuable. Thank you for sharing that. And I want to go back a bit also to this understanding and perception and this deep knowing about unity, about oneness, where you said we really lost that in this exercised and experienced polarity in our world. And I just wonder what you found out, what you helps you to really become aware and to really experience this dimension of oneness, of unity. Because of course, first of all, knowing that it's there, addressing it, knowing that it's the ground of every polarization which will show up is one thing, but kind of really being supported in shifting our consciousness from this disconnected, separated experience to an experience of unity. Is there anything you have to share?
Oh, I love that question. So rich. I can share what really helped for me. So once we trust first that the foundation, the kind of the primordial ground is unity. So what happens in that moment when we kind of trust and we accept that, we don't start to question that, is that when we are then not experiencing it, that we can then understand, even if I'm not experiencing it right now, it doesn't mean that unity is lost. Doesn't mean that I'm out of unity, just that it's not there in my awareness, it's not there in my experience. When we do that, we start to see that experiences come and go, but we are not fundamentally, we're not our experience. We are co-creators of those experiences. It takes place in the field of awareness, it rises up, it comes. It can be, very not only real, but very much engaging us, in all our senses and behaviors. However, because it comes and goes, there's something else more fundamental that remains, which is awareness itself. Yeah? So even the fact that we can experience this connection means that we are in unity. It's just a fantastic paradox, yeah? So I always say it, same with pain. If you really were disconnected from everyone else, you couldn't feel pain about it. There would be no experience. The pain actually informs you that something is wrong. Yes. And that can only inform you if you're somehow a deeper level connected. So in the world, and this is again, comes out of a lot of the mystical traditions as well. They say the number one is understand that how you see the world is perhaps not how it is. So that then means that the next, if you understand fundamentally, life is a unified reality. I'm always within and part of that unity. It's like I'm this in this incredible ocean. Even if I'm focusing in on this little drop or this wave, then the next step means that, so if I think myself out of it, and I really believe that, I'm still not going to lose it. So I'm now kind of safe to then explore even my mental inner worlds. Now, then the next step after that is to start to say, so if I'm not experiencing it, where is my focus going? Where is my attention going? Because depending on what we focus on, we feed with our attention and our energy follows. So if I then learn to, oh, so if I focus on it in this way and I give it attention in that way, so now we start to use that kind of future creative ability even deeper. And we start to see that also future creative abilities, how we see something into being. Seeing is an act of power. And that we start to kind of, you know, start to play with that and then notice if I shift my focus, I shift my awareness, I shift what I make it mean, my experience changes. And then we can start to get a sense of, if I add this to the mix, I'm going to feel more unity. If I add that to the mix, say that I am putting a lot of fear and frustration and judgment in, yes, I'm going to feel a sense of, it's not working, I'm feeling disconnected, I'm feeling out of flow and out of syntony. Yeah? But if I go, let's put some trust in here, let's breathe again, really feel that rhythmic relationship with life that the field is bringing me forth all the time. Yeah? When I'm asleep and I relax at night, and the larger unified field of consciousness, it takes me back in and it brings me back forth. So we start to kind of notice how it's not like we are all creating everything ourselves, but we're being brought forth also deeper levels of the universe itself. It brings us forth and we can relax into that. Then we start to come more in flow. Now, when we are in flow, we are in rhythm. And we are in syntony, we start to naturally experience more unity. So it's a lot about also where do we hold again the tension? How do we work with tension, attention? What do we give attention to? What are we feeding? And this is when you start to become a conscious co-creator with the kind of principles of life that are given, that are natural. So for me, those practices, and for years and years, actually just experimenting with myself and saying, watching my patterns of thought and notice, okay, this thought is rising. What comes after that? And then I notice, for example, even when you start meditating, sometimes when you close your eyes and you relax, your thoughts increase rather than decrease. And this is for a lot of people, you know, kind of a challenge when you're starting to meditate. They say, hey, I'm not getting this peaceful experience. And then if you study it well enough, I notice if you take, for example, your hand and you hold your hand in a particular tension. So you hold it contracted for a long time. When you let go and you release, you feel the tension as an after effect. Now, the same with our mind. So when we think a lot, and we hold our mind muscles in certain formations and certain tensions, yes, or constrictions, then it's actually the moment we stop doing that and we relax, it's the after effect, the echo of that pattern that starts to come up. So again, if we notice that, we don't get identified with it. We don't make a story of it. We don't try to correct it. You know, we don't try to steer it. And we relax into that. And this is the moment you relax and you trust. You're back in that field of unified reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a beautiful description. And I relate also a lot to this notion of really relaxing that I found always very, very supportive. So when I would kind of add some, I want this, it needs to go there, forget it. It's always a relaxation really into what is just there. And what also helped me a lot is kind of really being curious, because if unity is what is there prior to my body, it also needs to be there prior to my senses. So if I let go of my senses, and it's not necessary to shut them down, but to just drop with my awareness kind of deeper than my senses. And this is kind of a going down a staircase, deeper, 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 and not giving so much attention to all the senses. This helped me often a lot to enter this deeper reality, basically, this ultimate reality of what I am. Yeah.
I love that. Same. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That relaxation is just so important. That's trust again. It's also surrender. It's dancing and dance.
And Anneliese, I just want to also enter into another topic. What made me personally really curious when I was kind of reading on your website on Earthwise, and when I came across these five future archetypes, I really got so excited, but because I never found them named so beautifully and described, and I, you know, it was just, oh, what is vibrant in me? What is there? I was so curious, and I would found some of them more present and more powerful and some of them less, but I could relate to all of them. And yeah, I just assume that many of you who are listening now, watching this video, might be really also interested to hear about this future archetype. So please share about them.
That's wonderful. Yes. In fact, that, you know, it came to me after so many years of practice, researching, facilitation of transformational change. And I was really looking, what is really particular about this time in which we are now, and what brings it forth? And I was looking especially also around at the youth and seeing how are they responding for this. And again, when do we see people who are really having a generative response, and with all the kind of state of crisis that we also are in, yeah, how are we responding to that again in a future creative way? So the first archetype is the wholeness coder. Now, there's a lot of talk these days about codes. Yes, it seems that many people are talking about this code, that code, even in different jobs, they're talking about coding. So the wholeness coder understands that life itself is a wholeness. Yes, and that wholeness itself, that is the code of unity. So the wholeness coder also sees, therefore, that if we want to create that transformational change and really go towards that thrivability, it's so essential that we code with the wholeness code. And that means that it's a new way of system design, because many of our systems at the moment have been designed from a mechanistic worldview, which is a kind of dualistic worldview. And it's always this dynamic that we talked about before. It doesn't lead to evolution, because for evolution you need to have three as a principle. Cannot converge. It goes in that dynamic. Yeah? So the wholeness coder is kind of the first archetype, really understanding that also that it all starts a little code there. We all like a pixel of the universe. We all are this famous dot. You know, we all are a circle, as they say, indigenous people, starting from within as a circle. Yeah. And once we start to see then, therefore, that this coding, there's a deeper coding of life itself. There's a deeper universal cosmic code of how life evolves, how life actualizes, how, you know, life brings itself forth. Then what happens is that the next archetype that unfolds from there naturally is the future creative, because the future creative is also informed by that wholeness code. So the future creative is not working with that linearity of time, therefore not seeing future as, you know, past, present, future here, but future as this parallel dimension and therefore this unborn dimension. So the future creative is always looking for ways by tapping into the field of possibility, how you become a state attractor for that, and you can bring that forth. Understanding then that principle of wholeness, that the way unity brings itself forth is through a process of diversification. So what we could say cosmically we have as infinity in the material realms is diversity. So we start to have that kind of awareness about it in the invisible realms and in the invisible realms, how the same principle plays out and manifests. So the future creative works actively with that principle of wholeness and that unity and diversity. And then comes the next one, is that I'm working with that and having that understanding, the evolutionary catalyst can put that into application, can really work with that and can catalyze evolution, because this person doesn't kind of get stuck in that dualistic perception doesn't play in the mechanistic worldview, acknowledges it very much, notices that, but can work with it again in a future creative manner. So rather that it leads to more friction or division, the evolutionary catalyst where evolution itself was kind of stunted, where was constricted, it can catalyze for it to flow again. And in order to make it, to kind of catalyze it into being for evolution as a process to start flowing, so life can do what it knows how to do, it needs to have awareness, the person, of these principles and these practices. And then you see the next person coming in is the new paradigm pattern weaver. Yeah? So the weavers, like the weavers are, again, archetypes we've seen for a long time also in our humanity, but the pattern weaver, what the pattern weaver does, it notices the pattern of unity, the pattern that connects, and can start to see that a lot of the systems in our world have been again built on the pattern that disconnects. Now, a pattern that disconnects and a pattern that divides cannot bring forth behavior systems that thrive. So the pattern weaver now, because the wholeness coder, if you're coding from wholeness, then naturally systems that are founded on wholeness bring forth thrivable patterns. What we're seeing with life, and you create conditions for life to thrive, the patterns that are brought forth are naturally such that all the beings who are part of that can flourish. So we're seeing certain particular characteristics. So the pattern weaver starts to now feed and nurture and bring awareness to and co-create with these natural patterns in life that are fundamental to our thrivability and are therefore again future creative, in the sense that they make new possibilities, new openings possible, emergent and manifest. And then the next one that follows on from that is kind of the new paradigm storyteller. So the storyteller will now speak of the pattern that unites, the pattern that connects, and kind of really brings that out, you know, into the world by telling this narrative of our unity and diversity, of our conscious evolution, of this new future waiting to be born through us. And so the storyteller works with that, you know, these amazing patterns of thrivability, really coming all the way back from the code of wholeness.
Beautiful. And Anneloos, what supports us in consciously inviting the appearance of these archetypes in us, basically?
Yes, that's a good question. So the first thing is really become aware that those qualities, these perspectives, they are already within the field itself. But by kind of naming it, we start to see that in every given moment, we have these different options. For example, say that you're faced with a crisis, something is not working well. You could say to yourself, okay, as a new paradigm storyteller that tells of the story of how we work through this, how we meet challenges, how we look for new possibilities, how we honor our wholeness. So as new paradigm storyteller, what story am I going to tell myself right now about what just happened? Yeah. So you can call on those qualities. You can, for example, also say that there's a crisis, again, coming back to that, and you know, we feel that there is a tendency in ourselves to disconnect. There's a tendency to divide. There's a tendency to go back in the old language of them versus me, or me versus them, or this and that, and going into, again, that duality. If you say, oh, if I'm calling on the archetype now of the pattern weaver, hold on, if I now, through this experience, focus in on that pattern of disconnect, the pattern of disunity, then what world am I bringing into being here? And am I then even future creative or not? So, and then the same way, you can do the same exercise also with the evolutionary catalysts, like, oh, maybe this is happening because I'm being catalyzed into my next stage of growth, you know, and there's an opening I can't even see yet. So perhaps it's not that life is against me, nobody is against me here, but there's a deeper listening and a deeper surrendering and a deeper growing, deeper presence that's called for. And in doing so, again, is if we then work with future creative, saying, for example, But in the field of the future itself, so if I really step into the future as this incredible dimension of possibility, how else could I respond to this? And could it be that maybe I'm not experiencing yet what I was really looking for because it just hasn't been brought into being yet? And what is my role then to bring it forth? How can I bring it into being? So it's really by asking ourselves those questions in any given moment. Every moment, every experience is an opportunity. And in those moments, we create our worlds. So it's really, what am I focusing on right now? What archetypes am I playing with? And I feel in a lot of the stories around the old archetypes, they tend to be one archetype, like I like this one, I don't like that one. But what you see in this narrative is that all these archetypes unfold out of each other, just like the five elements. One makes the other one possible. You cannot work with one on its own. And my sense is that in our evolutionary growth, that is the kind of thinking that we need to get into. This is the kind of perspective that we need to get into, to really seeing how every step is a condition for something else to emerge. That means also an incredible responsibility there. Because with how we respond, what we activate, if what are we supporting the emergence of, or perhaps the suppression of as well. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what just came to my mind, because I got aware that I kind of embody quite a lot this catalyst quality. And before, I was really aware of being someone really being chosen to support evolution and all of that. I would just experience that often if I would enter in systems which are not working well, which are so much in the old paradigm and separation and stuff like that, a lot of chaos would kind of really come to the surface, or just pain or whatever. So I just experienced that when I would appear, things would kind of really start becoming very uncomfortable. And maybe some of our listeners will also have or do also have this experience, maybe get now a deeper understanding of why this is happening.
Yes, absolutely. Because when you're coming in as an evolutionary catalyst, you're holding, one, a different code, two, a different patterning, three, a different coherence patterning and level as well, yes? Or what some may call from a quantum field superimposition. So when you're coming in, so even your whole presence, the way you are with that, without even having said anything, already will start to indeed catalyze, yeah, new formations. Now, if the system is either not conscious of it or not aligned with it or not cooperative with that, it can start to become quite confused as well, or lots of reactions may come in, and it may look like it's first going through disintegration before it goes into high integration. And so it's again, everyone, we were working before that black hole. So when it disintegrates and entropy has reached its maximum, and it starts to, in that process of the disintegration, can become very chaotic. But it's, if we are present there, that's exactly where we activate evolution. Because that is what makes then new formations, new patternings possible. And in that moment, if we're kind of reminding life, hey, life, you are also coherent. So come on now, you know, come forth, really kind of call it in, holding for that. And allowing for that supercoherence, that evolutionary supercoherence, not the man-made one. Because there's another way, again, when we are, people think that coherence just means it fits all in a system, it stays together. No, no. It's a dynamic evolutionary coherence, which means it's responsive to itself, it's reciprocal, it listens, it grows, it's attuned to itself. So when you are that for the system, you are its listening, you are its feedback because you're present, you are its consciousness factor, because by you being within that and aware of it, it becomes aware of itself. In that moment, you can activate the wholeness code. You can kick-start it to activate a new patterning, to activate a new way of being. And I've seen this, I've worked with that. It's really quite amazing when that happens. And I have found myself that the best way to guide people into that is through visioning. So sometimes when you invoke it in the present, they are not yet open to the possibility. So the people go, no, surely we can't, you know, we can't have that sense of togetherness. But if you evoke, if you bring them into the future, even though we know the future is now, but you bring them into the future, suddenly there's a playing field, safe to explore it. The mind doesn't get into the way, and now you can't do it, because we're in the question of what if we could. Yeah? And then if you catalyze the evolution by guiding them into the future, experiencing themselves and life from the future, not thinking about the future, but really going into the future, then what happens if you really get them into this embodied state, it activates this new patterning inside themselves. And they can then bring that with them into the now and here. And that really, you know, accelerates that evolutionary growth in an amazing way.
So, Anneloos, would it be possible that you could just give us a taste of a short envisioning process?
Yes, why not? Let's do that. Let's do that.
All right.
Okay. So first I'll ask you, when you're listening here, make sure you're not in a place of any interruptions. And otherwise, to just come back to this practice afterwards. Yeah? Because we're going to go on a journey. Yeah. So I'm going to be guiding us into the experience of our future as really where our higher dimensional awareness is. You know, it's the future, our future self. It's how the cosmos knows you. So let's go. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes. And give yourself about 10 minutes as we go through this journey. And we're going into our future self, our future cosmic self. I'd just like to ask you to take a deep breath in now. Breathing in, bringing all your attention and your awareness in the here and now, where you are with your body. And letting go of any tensions or apprehensions, just let it all go. And take another deep breath in, relaxing deeper and deeper into yourself, and breathing out, letting go. And as you relax deeper into yourself, connect more deeply with that voice of wisdom within you that is from your future self. It's that beautiful wisdom and unity consciousness of you. It's always in the field of possibility. The possibilities that emerge from wholeness. The possibilities from unity. And just feel your beautiful connection with your future self. And how the wisdom of your future self, that within you, that is from the unified field of consciousness, how this wisdom of you knows you intimately, holds the possibility for your deepest actualization, your deepest blossoming and thriving. Your conscious evolution. And just take a minute to be with that. To be with your future self within you. Recognizing that this little voice has always been there. This little voice, this wisdom that is you, comes whenever you call it for. It comes in the form of a new idea, an opening, a new sense of possibility, emergence, and a deeper knowing. Of yourself. And this future self, from the field of unity, is inviting you now on a little journey. And as it's calling you to come into a new experience of yourself, just imagine how a path opens up in front of you. And this path guides you into your future self. It guides you and brings you now to your future possibility of your deepest blossoming. Just allow yourself to go now on that path. As you move into the future, of your thriveability. And come now fully into that future. Really stepping now fully and completely into this experience of you from the future that is your unity, that is your wholeness, that is your actualized self. An actualizing self. And just notice how that feels for you. The sensations in your body. As a field of consciousness that is you. Is harmonic, balanced, whole, like the deepest coming home into yourself. And as you feel this unity consciousness within yourself activating, allow this beautiful unity consciousness that is you to bring forth a pattern of unity within you. And from this beautiful seed of unity that is you, this fruit of unity that is you, allow the patterns of unity to inform your whole being, so that if there's been any division or disunity within you, naturally falls away. If there's been any confusion or pain, clarity takes its place. If there's been any fear or tension or concern, trust is grown stronger in this deepest connection with the source of life. The wisdom of you. Just allow yourself to really relax into this experience of unity within you and with life. With this seed of unity, this pattern of unity from your inner wholeness, you have the possibility to create your life from this pattern. You have the possibility to seed this pattern of unity in all you do, in all your activities. So from where you're now, in your future self, you can send from your unity this pattern of your unity and wholeness, of flow and thriveability, to your present and past. Where you are now in the future, you may send it all the way back. It can bring forth a new rippling, new formations. New experiences. And ask your future self now if there's anything else that your future self wants to share with you. And just really receive that now. The support from your future self. Experience, bring now this new pattern, the activation of your inner unity, the unity of life,
Bring it with you. And as you come back now, and you bring your future self with you, going back now all the way in the here and now, being fully present to where your body is, your present day and time. And notice how your future can now be accessed directly from within, as a dimension inside yourself. You always, always have direct access to a dimension inside yourself where the unity of you supports you, informs you. And allow yourself to really embody now this experience. Fully present in your body. Feel the weight of your body as you're sitting or laying down. And allow yourself to gently come out of this meditation, this practice, by moving your body, moving your head, moving your toes, your hands. And when you're ready, you may open your eyes.
Thank you so much,
Aluz, for this sacred space you've created, for this sacred connection. And although I could go in many, many more different aspects with you, we just came to the end of our time together now. But I have a deep sense that we might continue in some way. Or yes. Another meeting and sharing and exploring together. And I just want to mention that I will also link your website, this Earthwise Center, and I will also inform you listening and watching to us about upcoming events and programs which Anneluz and her team will provide also in the future. So if you really feel a resonance in continuing your journey in that way, I will give you all the information and support what I can take from Anneluz and share with you. Thank you very much for this rich conversation and for everything you shared. So in a very unique and simple and yet so profound way. I really appreciate that.
Thank you so much for making all of this possible for everything that you're doing and providing this opportunity to share your wonderful, wonderful.